Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again this week on Point, and I want to say thank you for everybody that's been listening to us, and we hopefully you had a very good week. If not, kick back, relax, join into this conversation with us, and let us know what's on your mind as well. I have my esteemed host and co-host there, Dr. Jay Moore. How you feeling today, partner?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Hope everyone out there is doing well as well. Welcome back to another episode of the show. Just to let you know, we are live tweeting at OnPointPHX.
And we got the wonderful little lady, Sincere. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. Thank you. How you guys doing? Hey, Trey, James, everybody?
Oh, great, 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 great.
Welcome.
And, just so that everybody knows, this conversation, when we're going to carry it over, if you know, we still want to get everybody's opinion. We want you to hear a little bit more of what we think, and we want to hear your ideas, your feelings toward the subject as well. So you can catch us this evening at from 7 to 8 p.m. on RadioPhoenix.org, and where we'll just pick it up from there, was on there where we're on Point. So we'll be looking forward to that. This week in our segment, Weight of the World, it's the terror of being terrorized. And what we're going to do is we're going to turn our attention to the events that's kind of been grabbing everybody's, their hearts, their spirits, their emotions, kind of placed a stranglehold on everyone's emotions in the world that's been exposed to it, especially. The countries of North Africa, Russia, Israel, most recently France. They all have fallen victim to the perils of these deranged, craven, idealistic, unreasonable, irrational, sociopathic, genocidal terrorists. These cowards, they call themselves ISIS, or they've been named as ISIS. And we'll ask the questions looming on everybody's mind. Why? Why do they do it? You know, explain their particular brand of insanity without sounding utterly stupid is what we're asking. Tell us why you do this and why anyone would be part of such a movement. So with that, anybody wanna jump in? And I know that you've been plagued, deluged by all this news of everything that's been going on in France. Anybody have any takeaways from what's been going on?
Well, I'd like to say it's go ahead, Tris.
Okay, now I was going to say for all those that, you know, lost their lives due to the terrorist acts, and of course there's several of them, from Paris to Kenya to 9/11 to Boston. I mean, we all can think of so many terrorist attacks, and I just want to say I feel for those that have lost their lives due to this nonsense, you know. It's unfortunate, but I agree with you, Trey. Something has to be done. It has to be a resolution. Like, we can't keep letting this go on. It seemed like after 9/11, it seemed like that was just the tip of the iceberg for what was to come. It seemed like it's been so many copycat moves. When do it stop? You know what I mean? And I feel sorry for those that have lost their lives due to this nonsense, due to religion, due to ISIS. The whole nine, it needs to stop. And it needs to be a resolution as to how can we make it stop.
I agree. Something else, though, is it's a form of negative branding, too. Because go back to the days of Catholicism. Christianity reigned supreme as far as a religion. They have a dark side, the Spanish Inquisition. Everything that was done under the name of the Catholic diocese. In the name of God, you know, racking people, torturing people, burning people at the stake. It had to change. It had to change. And now,
but why is religion so? I was just going to ask, like, well, why is religion so violent? Like, religion, it shouldn't be violent like that. Like, you have certain people that, like, prior to the people that hit the 9/11 building, that I mean, they was willing to go that far as to kill themselves. Like, why relate that to religion? Religion is not supposed to be violent. You know what I mean? So why relate that to religion?
Those are al-jihadists. Here's the thing. Those people were supposed to be Muslim. I implore you, I dare a person, the person listening right now who believes and swears that he's a Muslim, I double dog dare you to bring to me, call us, 347-855-8662, 347-858-662. I double dare you to find anywhere in the Quran, where it tells you to take your life and to take lives of others. And it's spoken from the Hadith, rest your spirit, for I am a vengeful God toward any who take the life of those who are not trying to take theirs. Come on now. You don't know me from Adam, and you're going to try to take my life, the life of my family, my loved ones, my friends, and coworkers, all for a belief that you have? That's man-made.
I agree with you, Trey. And I think that's the problem with, I wouldn't say faith or belief, but religions to some degree in general. And, you know, by definition, a religion, well, faith, and religion should be peaceful. But I think that you're always going to find a specific group that are going to baptize things and change them to their perspectives and try and support it with whatever religious text, whether it's, you know, someone here in the United States saying that they utilize the Bible to edify their beliefs that they can do people wrong in the South, to a number of folks around the world. I think the religion has caused so many battles and fights basically since the beginning of religion. And I'm going to take a slightly different direction and say that we have to look at faith versus religion, because religion realistically is about rules and regulations, whereas faith is going to be about that relationship with your higher power. And I think what's happening is in many religious arenas, people are going to do that. They're going to skew it to suit their needs, and then supplement it with that religious text.
Exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think most books of a religious text or that carry a religious text have been taken out of content to some degree to suit its readers' own devices, their own good. The Bible has been slaughtered, and I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, after a while you stop and think, how many versions of a book are you supposed to have if there's one true book? You know, that's kind of like, yeah, there's a version of James, and James is the true doctor there. And like, come on, really? So if it can't be another, it can't be a version. That's somebody else's interpretation, their perspective of a James. That's not him. So we're going to go according to the word of James. Wonderful. But here's our version. No, it doesn't work. And those people, those radicals, those Islamic extremists, and that's not al-Islam. That is not al-Islam. And that's the name of it. That's not what al-Islam is all about. It's supposed to be about the tranquility, the security of and the embetterment of mankind. It's supposed to be the embracement of peace and wellness toward all those who believe or live by the faith of God. Live by the faith of God. It doesn't even say who he is or who she is. It just says live by the faith of God. Now, something that's taken way out of context, and I digress a little bit, is the name Allah. Well, my name is Trey. Your name is James. That's Lady Sincere. And the thing is, that's our name. it doesn't make us think of, yes, every person named James has a peach pit. Every guy named Trey is in Boys in the Hood. Every lady Sincere is a spider. No, that's not it. It's just a name. It's the thing that makes us be able to be recognized, or that we recognize others. Allah is a name in from Arabic text that Muslims and Christians alike recognize or deem to be the highest form of compliment to God. So for those listening, get that out your head. Just get it out your head. Just because Christians, I'm one. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm going to go burn some chick because she waves her fingers and rolls her neck. I say, oh my God, she's a witch. She should be flogged. She should be burned. People's ideology.
Well, Trey, that's it. We have to look at the ideology, because I think, you know, right now, because of what's going on in the news, we're talking about France.
Right.
That is not the only place where people are skewing beliefs and utilizing them to do horrible things. I think some of you may have seen some of the posts on Facebook, and they were talking about Boko Haram. Okay, so, you know, what are we doing about that? What are we saying about that? You know, what are we doing about, you know, the things that happen here in the U.S. with people saying, hey, based on my religion, I think this group of folks is that possess these type of characteristics. It's not just in the Middle East where this is happening. It's happening all over the world. I actually got introduced, believe it or not, I saw a video on the first that I've ever seen, radical Buddhists. And this guy he's outspoken. He says very just horrible things about Muslims. And it was just, like, I've never seen a Buddhist speak out like that. And I think that up until I had seen that, I always thought that was one of the places where you would never see any kind of radical nature person or anything like that. But what that shows me is, realistically, there's not a religion out there, there's not a religious system out there that is 100% safe from somebody radicalizing it and using and bending it toward their own means as a way to supplement it. What they're doing. And I think the fact that these people can be so perfidious to their religious text is very, very scary.
You see, I believe that everybody wants to believe in something that justifies them, that mirrors them, that captures a piece of what they believe. Think about it. If people are peaceful by nature, then those individuals who have that destructive binge in them, they have to believe in something. They go to church, they go to synagogues, they go to mosques, they go to masjids, just like everybody else. And they have to find something that perpetuates what they believe. That you got to get out, let go in the name of something. And those individuals, they're few. They seem like a lot, but they're few. They cast a huge image. And in line with what you said, Jay, I'm going to name a couple places for you. Like Boko Haram, you know about that. Baga, you know, that's Borno State in Nigeria. Oraskai Agency out of Pakistan, Damar Al Arish, Harar in Saudi Arabia, Kabul, Istanbul, Sana'a, Yemen, France, of course, Porta Vicines, Tripoli, Mogadishu, Maiduguri. That's just a couple places. Suicide attacks, 25, 15, 66 in Yemen. Istanbul, Turkey, had one suicide attack, but it was with two buses. They killed 120 people on two buses. Nobody's ever said anything about it. Nothing. And in Boko Haram, the thousand people since October, 2,000, France, with no disrespect intended whatsoever, is mourning and crying feverishly over 132 people. Think of those people in North Africa, 2,000. No one said a word. Terrorism has become the new plague, and I think it's within us to be able to stop it. It's just sometimes they say, you've heard the cliche, sometimes the voice of reason will prevail. Well, if nobody puts out the voice of freaking reason, it can't prevail.
I was going to say that, I mean, I understand that them deep enough security, I mean, that's something that needs to be done to protect everybody else, but we need to do something a little bit bigger than beefing up security, because, I mean, what if that happens over here? I mean, it didn't happen already several times before, but something has got to be done. Because it's getting to the point to where it's getting ridiculous. And I agree with you, Trey. Certain things are being done that's not being reported by the media. Like Kenya. They had 146 that died over there in Kenya. You know, of course, Paris, that was advertised. I mean, whatever, you know, media. Of course, the media reported that. But there are a lot of things that do go unreported. So what do we do for those people that have lost their lives due to this nonsense that's not being reported? You know, what else can we do besides beef up security? You know what I mean? To stop this nonsense, because as you can see, they don't mind taking their lives, not at all. Not at all. It's not
well,
a problem.
Well, Trish, I think you're right that security needs to be beefed up. What's really throwing me for a loop is because, and I think let's take it back a little bit. We never really beefed up security back when we should have, way back in probably the 50s, 60s, when other countries started putting border control in and all that stuff. And by no means am I saying we need to build a wall or anything like that. What I'm saying is we should have put measures in place before, so it wouldn't have been an issue now. Now, trying to put the measures in place, most don't know how to fix the systemic and systematic issues that arise out of that. So they say some ridiculous garbage. You find them often being very gauche because of the fact that they're trying to fix a problem that they don't know how to fix. And they're talking about now, well, let's just let, you know, Christians in and not Muslims. And to me, that's a very scary thing. And I think tonight we're probably going to address this a little bit more in depth, but the issue is they were talking about giving folks cards to show what their religion is and different things like that. And I'm like, that sounds extremely Hitler-esque to me. It's a very scary thought. And I know that if you look at those things, think about if someone pulls you over, not only do you have to show your license and registration and insurance, now you have to show a religion card.
I agree.
There was something that was introduced of people being barcoded,
right.
And it looks like
they're
slowly but surely trying to push us toward that. And I'll be damned, you get barcoded. It tells your social security number, who you are, when you were born, where you were born at. Your ethnicity, your religion. And right now, they just introduced a Savior's card? Savior's prosperity card, don't quote me. It's supposed to be a card that states or shows your religious belief. Have we taken leave of our freaking senses? And for the individuals that are
going
to happen, they don't say nothing. Man, look, I'm a
something else that I noticed, though. The media has been out there. You know, they've been saying a whole lot about France, and they've been talking about the running candidates for presidency, what their feelings were. What about these individuals that have been on the left hand side? I'll get the name. I'll even finish the season. Gentleman was on a news report, CNN. You might be familiar with this. And he says, the young lady asked, what about these people that were in Nigeria, in North Africa? What about those people that died over there, 2,000 people? No, nobody's heard him. And he said, well, I'll be honest with you, and I quote, feel free, just Google it, CNN report, speaker for journalists talking with gentlemen about Nigerian attack. And he said, let's be honest. And he said, I'll be honest with you. We have no interest there. It doesn't benefit us. So it's not worth mentioning.
You know, I saw that report, Trey, and that was disheartening. That was very disheartening.
Isn't that some ish?
They said it's
not worth reporting.
I mean, and then he goes on to say, well, I mean, I don't mean to be cruel.
And it's a bad
thing to say, but let's
just be honest. Can you believe an individual decided to allow his lips to percolate and form those words and let them drip off his tongue to be so callous, cold, and just dysfunctionally distant against humankind? Maybe it's just me. I'm just saying.
Well, you bring up some valid points, man, but I think what we have to look at is if he actually had what scares me is if he actually had the temerity to say that, that's just what he said. What's really going on behind closed doors, no pun intended, for those of you who've been listening for a while? What's going on? Because he shared that. Now, it could be that he slipped, or maybe that's what he was coached to say. And the fact that if he actually comes out and says, hey, this is not relevant because we have no interest there, then that gives you a little bit more insight into some of the things that are going on that are a little bit surreptitious. I think that really stinks because if you think about it, in most places, people are very affable. You know, they're not out to cause problems. And even most religions say the same thing. And the fact that you can have a group totally decimating a particular area or group of people, and for us to say we don't care, or for somebody to say we as a country don't care about that because we have no interest, I find that very disturbing. And it's akin to seeing your neighbor being, you know, beat up or molested two or three houses down, and you say, well, there's no interest for me there. I'm not protecting anything, so I'm going to let that person just take their lumps. Now, most people,
feel me?
Maybe they won't step in, but that's your neighborhood. If you make it easy for someone to come in there, what's next?
Yes, and the bad thing is that shined for those who are half worth half their weight and just a teeny bit of intelligence. That shined such a huge light on France and in the most negative of connotations. This is the reason why we are paying attention to France is because there's a mutual interest there. No other reason.
Well,
that individual.
And if you look at it,
I'm sure
we had something similar happen in the early days of the States, though. When France helped the United States during the Civil War, you know, a lot of us look at it and say, well, they just helped out. Realistically, there was interest in it for France, and that was in the Caribbean. They had sugar plantations, and sugar was the big money maker back then. That was the cash crop. And so them fighting the British off kept them away from the sugar crops down in the Caribbean, which is, you know, roughly 90 miles off the tip of Florida there. So, you know, I think it's sad that sometimes countries actually step in and help where there's an interest. And it's funny because sometimes as United States we seem to come across as like the global police. And I think that as a police officer, you know, if I may be so bold as to use that term, if you're going to call yourself a police force, you can't just pick and choose or cherry pick what's good and what's bad. You got to do the right thing all the time. You know, it's like ethics. It's that definition of doing what's right even when no one's looking, you know, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree. I think, and see, that's another thing. I think our current president has recognized the fact that everybody and their grandmama, yes, that's street vernacular for those of you who don't know, everybody wants America to be the police. But then just as easily, everyone and their grandmama, yes, that's the street vernacular for those that don't know, for everyone, also wants to have someone to blame in the event that something doesn't go quite the way they'd like it to. If the end results don't come out to the means that they wished, it doesn't favor them or that other party, they want somebody to blame. And our current president has a slight bit of, I think he stepped a teeny bit into hindsight and said, oh, hell no. I don't want us to be responsible for every single thing that's happening in their country when they have the power to do it. I agree with him. And for all those nasty little radical information-sucking individuals who say, you know, you're just one of those individuals who just likes him because she's brown. No. The man is smart. And here's something else. You non-witted individual. Here's the thing. Every time we apply ourselves for the nation, our people go to stand for us. To get that through your thick, numb skull. If he says, we'll be there, you sitting on the couch right now just chilling, you're not going, but your son is. Your daughter is, your nephew, your uncle is, your grandchildren, they're going to another place to for them for because we're the police. You're right, Jay. That's a bad place for us to be. And I commend our commander-in-chief for saying, you know what, that's not what we want to do. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to fight their battles. Look. America went over there and trained them. They had 10,000 men. ISIS rolled up in trucks with 200 people and they threw down their arms. And we're supposed to fight for them? Really?
Look, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Tell me I'm wrong.
That's well, just I think. There's a lot of components to it, and I think part of it is once you get involved in certain things, it's tough to take yourself out because, you know, if you walk away, it looks like maybe perhaps you cut and ran, and sometimes it's a wise thing to walk away from something. I was always told as a kid, you know, hey, you know, it takes more to walk away than it does to get embroiled in something, and in some cases, you know, it is the more prudent thing to do. In other cases, maybe you have to step in. I think that, you know, there's a lot of components. I mean, we could talk about this for 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, reach out to us tonight. We're going to be live tweeting again tonight at RadioPhoenix.org. And then RadioPhoenix.org will be on tonight. And then we'll be live tweeting at OnPointPHX. And let's continue the conversation. Trey, take us out.
Every idea, thought, and everything should always be on point.